Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. My name is Camden Busey. I'm in Grays Lake, Illinois. In the studio, we have our good buddy, our contributor, Ryan Noah, also here in studio. Welcome back, Ryan. It's good to see you.
Great to be with you in Grays Lake, brother.
Yeah, we love doing what we do. We've got some really beautiful books behind you today. That's a preview of the box sets from Banner of Truth. So this isn't on our list, but I'll just mention those. We have a set on John Owen. And then a set that includes a whole host of classic works. And I'm reading Jeremiah Burroughs' A Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment again, just because it's a good salve, a balm for a weary soul.
You know, you had recommended that book to me at a low point in one of my internships with you. And That was not a dig, but no, it's just tremendous.
I didn't take it as a dig.
Yeah, it's both a kick in the pants, you know, for where you are, just too downcast and need to trust in the promises of the gospel, and it's also just, you know, not breaking the bruised reed with the words of Christ. So
amen. Such a good book. So there's a whole series there, and you can eye them if you're watching the video behind Ryan for the next 10 or 15 minutes as we talk through some other books. We're going through our book notice on our radar section, where we're just listing some current books that are on our radar, things that are coming up, either that have been recently have been published or will be soon. And this is by no means is a comprehensive list of everything that's come before us, or even necessarily a comprehensive list of everything with which we're interested. Mm-hmm. But it's a list of things that rather now than waiting, you know, until a full interview comes out or a fuller review comes out, can be helpful just to let you, the listener, know what's out there. Maybe you want to take action on it immediately, which we hope you do. The first is by Matthew Barrett, Simply Trinity, The Unmanipulated Father, Son, and Spirit. This is published by Baker, not Baker Academic. I think that's an important thing to note. And I've got a copy of it. I'll grab it here in a second. But let me read the description. This is published March 2021, 368 pages, $24.99 in paperback. What if the Trinity we've been taught is not the Trinity of the Bible? In this groundbreaking book, Matthew Barrett reveals a shocking discovery. We have manipulated the Trinity, recreating the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our image. We have distorted the Trinity to justify our countless social agendas. The result, we have drifted away from the Orthodox Trinity of the Bible. With clarity, creativity, and conviction, Barrett mines the scriptures as well as the creeds and confessions of the faith to help you rediscover the beauty and simplicity of our triune God. Barrett introduces you to the Dream Team. The best, there's a reference here for a mid-90s
yes.
kid like you and me. The best of the church fathers, technically 92. The best of the church fathers who teach us how to interpret the Bible in a way that avoids past and present Trinitarian heresies. You will also be surprised to learn that what you believe about the Trinity has untold consequences for salvation and the Christian life. To truly know God, you must meet the one who is simply Trinity. Mm. What did you think of this when you saw this one? Certainly the title's loaded. And
yeah,
I think
unmanipulated. I love that adjective there. How many seek to twist and pervert scripture and you know, mess around with this fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith? I mean, we speak about justification as the main hinge upon which, you know, church stand or falls. How about the Trinity, too?
Yeah, well, it's essential. You got to get it right, because if you don't get the Trinity right or your doctrine of God correct, you're going to end up with all sorts of other problems in your whole theology of everything is going to fall apart.
Yeah, Revelation, man, governor, I mean.
So there's a couple things. I have not read this book. Again, these are book notices. These are things on our radar. I'm interested to look into this. But just first impression. This is published by Baker, so not Baker Academic. It doesn't mean it's not based on good scholarship. No doubt it is. However, it's targeted toward a different group. My understanding of this book is it is more keyed toward or targeted towards lay people. Even some of the endorsements say that. But it is rather lengthy. I mean, we're talking, you know, 360 some pages, and we're dealing with the topic of the Trinity, which is not, that's a serious and a weighty topic. But I do think the impetus of this book, my suspicion is coming out of some of the EFS, ERAS controversies that sprung up in 2016, if I'm not mistaken, namely with, correct me
Bruce
if I'm wrong,
and,
Bruce Ware and Wayne Grudem.
Right.
And the connection, for one way, shape, or form, rooting the doctrine of complementarianism between man and woman, finding some sort of Trinitarian analog to that, and then seeing how the Son is somehow eternally subordinate to the Father in an analog and in an analogical way to the way in which women would be subordinated or submissive to men, though not unequal. So, you know, that has caused a whole host of books to be written, podcasts to be discussed, tweets to be tweeted. And so I think this book in many ways is probably trying to rectify that situation with some serious scholarship. And we've seen a whole wave of books on the Trinity coming out. Scott Swain has one in the Short Studies series from Crossway that addresses just these classical doctrines. But there's a whole host of other things in the orbit as well. When you start to think about the soft and sometimes hard and overt attacks on the doctrine of immutability or impassibility, folks like Matthew Barrett and Scott Swain definitely want to respond to those attacks and present an orthodox and a Catholic, small c Catholic, doctrine of the Trinity, which is something I am very concerned to do, and all of us here at Reform Forum are concerned to do as well. So for that reason, we can commend a book like this, and no doubt more on that in the future. Next up, we got one. Got a CanRef guy.
That's right, whom we've welcomed to the program before and had a wonderful interview with him on his book. Was it The Deacon or The Elder? Forgive me, brother. I'm only remembering because we went through both books in our officer training.
Exactly. And we had such a wonderful time on that. He's written two superb books. Oddly enough, they're published by different publishers. I think we interviewed Dr. Van Dam on The Deacon on Christ the Center. But in officer training, we did cover both of them when you and our dear friend Carl were training for office as a deacon and as an elder, respectively. So I can vouch for those books as very useful and helpful. So what has Dr. Van Dam written currently?
And here again, he's drawing on his expertise, particularly in the Old Testament, in a book called In the Beginning, Listening to Genesis 1 and 2 from Reformation Heritage Books, published in March 2021. It's 381 pages with a list price of $30 in hardcover. Do the opening chapters of Genesis constitute real history? Concerned with an apparent shift among conservative scholars to answer in the negative, Cornelis Van Dam argues that reading Genesis 1 and 2 as history is not only justified, but necessary. Van Dam clarifies the different roles that ancient Near Eastern literature and scientific theories should play in our understanding of the Bible, as he carefully deals with the exegetical details of the first two chapters of the Bible. Pastors, students, and church leaders will find In the Beginning an informed guide that will restore their confidence in the complete reliability of the Genesis creation account.
Mm-hmm. Cornelis Van Dam, tremendous. I just got to pass the next one off to you because...
Oh, sure.
I'm dying to read this. I'm really interested in this one, but there's no way my description is going to hold a candle to yours.
Oh,
Take it away, brother.
I'm just reading from the publisher, and I have not read this book. I read some chatter from Chalcedon the other day about the author, but that's for another story. This one is from Crawford Gribben. Survival and Resistance in Evangelical America, Christian Reconstruction in the Pacific Northwest, from Oxford University Press, published in March 2021. 224 pages at a list price of $29.95.
Which surprised me.
In hardcover, yeah.
Because normally they would be much more than that, so that's a steal from OUP.
Absolutely. From the publisher. Over the last 30 years, conservative evangelicals have been moving to the northwest of the United States where they hope to resist the impact of secular modernity and to survive the breakdown of society that they anticipate. These believers have often given up on the politics of the Christian right, adopting strategies of hibernation while developing the communities and institutions from which a new America might one day emerge. Their activity coincides with the promotion by prominent survivalist authors of a program of migration to the American Redoubt, a region encompassing Idaho, Montana, parts of eastern Washington and Oregon, and Wyoming, as a haven in which to endure hostile social change or natural disaster, and in which to build a new social order. These migration movements have independent origins, but they overlap in their influences and aspirations, working in tandem to offer a vision of the present in which Christian values must be defended as American society is rebuilt according to biblical law. This book examines the origins, evolution, and cultural reach of this little-noted migration and considers what it might tell us about the future of American evangelicalism.
Oh, yeah. I listened to a podcast interview with Crawford Gribben on the New Books Network. My apologies to the interviewer. He did a fine job. I don't recall his name at the moment. I saw it on Twitter and listened to it, and I tweeted it. So if you want to find a link to it, the easiest way might just be to look at my Twitter stream. But this is just a tremendous book. I look forward to a tremendous subject. It's one of great interest for no other, just historical and sociological reasons. And so I'm looking forward to getting a copy of this and diving into it. Another friend of ours, Charles Williams, said he's about 50 pages in and says it's riveting. So
wow.
If we're going to give like the movie review, the one word review, riveting, Charles Williams.
And this will align with your broader interest in agrarianism and
yes.
Public lands and hunting. Sometimes I think you're about, couple minutes away from moving out west, brother.
Well, I have my moments.
Okay,
although we'll leave it at that. Although I have high suspicions that anyone in this group would ever approve of the government owning property, so maybe I don't know. I haven't read it. I don't know much about this. Although I know enough to be interested in this book, so looking forward to this. Again, Crawford Gribben, a very serious scholar, did a lot of work on millennialism. Among the Puritans of the 17th century. So he entered into this because of his interest in millennialism and looking at post-millennials in the present, American evangelical sphere. And then he digs down into two strands of that, one with Doug Wilson and his group in Moscow, Idaho, and the other, I can't recall the guy's name at the moment. Obviously, I don't subscribe to his podcast or anything, but there's a more survivalist type of strand. I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know exactly who you're talking about. No.
Anyway, kind of a Christian means of surviving the apocalypse to come. The kind of thing described in Cormac McCarthy's The Road. Mm. Next, we have Chase R. Kuhn and Paul Grimmond. Theology is for Preaching, Biblical Foundations, Method, and Practice. This is from Lexham, March 2021. Don't think I have a copy of that laying around. If I do, I'll try to dig it up. This is from the Studies in Historical and Systematic Theology series, 416 pages, $29.99 paperback. Is it right just to preach the text? Why do we preach and do theology? How do we relate them? And how do they relate to God's Word? Theology is for preaching, helps preachers with theology and theologians with preaching. Though diverse in contexts and disciplines, the contributors share a commitment to equipping the saints to rightly handle the word of truth. Through essays on foundations, methods, employing theology for preaching, and preaching for theology, this volume will equip preachers and theologians to engage deeply with the text of the Bible and communicate its meaning with clarity. I know I have some other books in this series, so when Ryan's mentioning the next one, I'll go digging through the pile behind me, see if I can find that so that you can get a visual of it. Looks interesting. The next one has been much anticipated by quite a few in the evangelical community.
Yeah, indeed, and many of us as well in the confessional reform community who came into Calvinism and the doctrines of grace through men like John Piper. This book is from Piper called Providence. It's published by Crossway in March 2021. It clocks in at 752 pages. So this is a very substantial study.
Ooh,
it's
wow.
hailed as his magnum opus. $39, $39.99 in hardcover. From Genesis to Revelation, the providence of God directs the entire course of redemptive history. Providence is God's purposeful sovereignty. Its extent reaches down to the flight of electrons, up to the movements of galaxies, and into the heart of man. Its nature is wise and just and good, and its goal is the Christ-exalting glorification of God through the gladness of a redeemed people in a new world. Drawing on a lifetime of theological reflection, biblical study, and practical ministry, pastor and author John Piper leads us on a stunning tour of the sites of God's providence from Genesis to Revelation to discover the all-encompassing reality of God's purposeful sovereignty over all creation and in all of history. Piper invites us to experience the profound effects of knowing the God of all-pervasive providence, the intensifying of true worship, the solidifying of wavering conviction, the strengthening of embattled faith, the toughening of joyful courage, and the advance of God's mission in this world. I can tell you right now, just from that description, this will be positively doxological if he delivers on those promises there.
How could it not be? And I imagine just reading it, you probably hear it in John Piper's voice and with his passion, no doubt. Take a look at that. Here are some of the books in that Studies in Historical and Systematic Theology series. Yes, I do not have the one we just mentioned, but this is what they look like. And if people can see, there's a whole host of them printed. So I've got one here, The Gloss and the Text, William Perkins on Interpreting Scripture with Scripture by Andrew Balich. Born Again, The Evangelical Theology of Conversion in John Wesley and George Whitfield by Sean McGeever. And The Logic of the Body, Retrieving Theological Psychology by Matthew A. Lapine, with a foreword by Kevin Fanhuser. He's a Trinity student. I met, had lunch or breakfast with Matthew once at a good
professor.
Time. Yeah.
No, you said he's a Trinity student.
He was. Lapine.
Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Dr. Vanhoeser.
Yeah. Well, he's a lifelong student.
He's a lifelong student. He could sign up for our Reformed Academy, and we'd be pleased to have him.
Of course, everyone knows Vanhoeser. Well, ought to. Certainly well-known scholar. So lots of books in that series as well. Mm. We have another book on Proverbs, more Old Testament studies. Here's a shorter commentary published by Erdmans, written by Ivan D.V. Da Silva and Bruce Waltke. Of course, Waltke has a two-volume set on Proverbs. What's the – is that Nicot?
New International Commentary
in the Old Testament. Here with Erdmans, March 2021, 500 pages, $38, paperback. Now, this is an abridged and revised version of Waltke's magisterial two-volume Nicot commentary on the Book of Proverbs. Since 2004, Bruce Waltke's magisterial two-volume Nicot commentary on the Book of Proverbs. See, that's a very Old Testament way to write right there, because they had the same phrase.
You know what, brother? I put that in. Both are from the publisher, but that was an interpolation. I put it in there in order to give a better description.
This is a scribal error.
Yes.
Oh, I see. We got to do textual criticism here on the notes.
Sorry.
Apologies to Erdmans for my joke. I went to the publisher, but it's a much more innocent thing going on. Yeah, certainly. This is, since 2004, these commentaries on Proverbs have been recognized as a definitive exegesis of the Hebrew text, groundbreaking in its illuminating analysis that the authors and redactors of Proverbs had organized their material into discernible clusters and groupings. Waltke and Ivan Da Silva here offer an abridged and revised version of the preeminent commentary, which is more accessible to students, pastors, and Bible readers in general. In place of a technical analysis of the Hebrew text, Waltke and Da Silva interpret the translated text while also including their own theological reflections and personal anecdotes where appropriate. A topical index is added to help expositors with a book that is difficult to preach or teach verse by verse. I would agree with that. I haven't preached through Proverbs. It could be rather challenging. I did preach Proverbs 8, and that's a unit that holds up and not terribly difficult to preach, but some of the other sections could be quite challenging. So that could be really useful. even for families who would like to read and study, but yet don't need to be bogged down with all the details of Hebrew textual analysis.
Right. Yeah, I'm hoping that this is in the vein of G.K. Beale's shorter commentary on Revelation, which is, I mean, nothing can match the commentary, the big one on the Greek text, but sometimes the shorter ones, when the author's forced to distill his or her views, it's more accessible and even packs more of a punch sometimes. Mm-hmm. You don't get lost in all the, you know, the variants and whatnot. And mm-hmm. This could be great.
Yeah, I agree. Well, those are the books for this week. You know, if you got any questions or comments, you can write in to mail@reformedforum.org. You can look forward to interviews with the authors on Christ the Center, and lengthier and more substantive reviews occasionally on this program, Reformed Media Review. But I do want to thank everybody for listening, and until next time, tola lege, take up and read.